Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Y'all, you're struggling what to figure out to get for that special someone in your life this holiday season. Lord knows it burns me up every damn year. I feel like I'm going to screw it up, and oftentimes I do. But forget all the generic gifts. They can just create clutter. They might not even want it. It just lays around. No, no, no. Let us recommend you a gift that is truly as unique as your relationship with that special someone. It's a professionally recorded song crafted just for them. Yeah, you heard that right. It's true. Now, listen, you might hear that and be skeptical. What? I can get my own personally custom-made song based on my love for my loved one or whatever topic I want? Yes, you can, and we know because we have done it here at Putting On Airs. We got a song from Songfinch, our wonderful sponsor, and they made us their own custom-made rap song for POA, and I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be completely honest. When I heard about this, I was a little somewhat skeptical. You know, I was like, This sounds cool, but that's got to be very hard to do. I don't know about the quality. We'll see how it is. Was absolutely blown smooth away when the final product came in. I couldn't believe how hard it goes, how hard it bangs, how hard it slaps, and all of the above. It hits so hard, and I haven't really stopped listening to it since. Cho, you agree with me on that?
I do agree with you, and not only do I agree with you, we've had a bunch of our buddies message us that was just like, you know, dude, that goes insanely hard. And I agree. And by the way, Songfinch walks you through a simple 4-step process to create an original song. How do I know that it's simple? Because I was the one that handled it, right? And if I can do it, you can do it. All you got to do is tell them who the song is for, provide some personal details, and let them know the type of song you want. Then pick your favorite Songfinch artist or get matched with one, and they'll pour their heart out into writing, recording, and producing your original song in just 4 to 7 days, which y'all... That's crazy. Special add-ons can help you to commemorate the occasion even more, like a vinyl record of your song, one-of-the-kind art crafted from your lyrics, or adding your song to streaming services so you can give an even bigger surprise to your unsuspecting recipient. They are the only original music platform that guarantees you'll love your song, or they'll work with you until you do. They stand behind their community of over 1,000 artists and every original song they create, over 300,000 of them, by the way. So here you go. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song on Spotify for free, so you can listen to your new favorite song anywhere you go. Go to songfinch.com/POA and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free. That's a $50 value. Their offer is only available for our listeners at our special URL, songfinch.com/POA. That's songfinch.com/POA. And be sure to share your song with us. We want to hear it. Songfinch, good stuff. Hits.
We gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs. We collected from our love of Downton Abbey. We collected, we found out we're both so fancy. Hey, what's the difference between rednecks and royal families? Only money, cause they both have sex with family. Ew.
Putting on airs. What other rednecks to talk about foreign affairs? Laughing so hard that we end up falling out our chairs. Sir Trey, Sir Corey, oh, what a pair. High class topics with a redneck flair. Oh, yeah.
Two rednecks, but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs. Two rednecks, but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea. Putting on airs. Okay, it's Team Squirrel.
squirrels that you ran over, that you think are nameless, faceless. Their families are getting together and plotting on you from the attic and basement. So even though Corey is dumb, fat, and bald, he knows how to avoid drama. Don't get squirrels involved. Two rednecks, but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs. Two rednecks, but we're still fancy, putting on airs. We might not know much about history, we don't care. We gon' get drunk and we talk about yachts.
We gon' get drunk and we gon' talk a lot.
Dress real fancy, sit in our chairs, sip on our tea, putting on airs.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. Hey, here
we are. Are we here? Here we are. Airheads.
Let me make sure that we're here, but I'm pretty sure that
look
we're
who
here.
It is, everybody. Some of y'all have requested him. Some of y'all may not know who he is yet, but you're going to learn today. This is longtime denizen of the Skewniverse, the Indian Outlaw himself, Mr. Tushar Singh.
Thank you.
There's some Airheads out there real, real excited right now.
Hello, Airheads.
They've been missing you, buddy, in the Skewniverse.
I was really flattered when you were like, they actually ask about me.
All the time.
Like, who the fuck am I?
People on my Patreon and all this and in the comment section stuff bring you up all the time.
Well, we're the only white men that our fans like.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like, it's kind of amazing that they're even here to ask about you, but... But yeah.
So this episode, you know, we've had a couple of guests before, but not many. This episode will be a little different than the usual format because we have a guest. The general overall topic of conversation, very ravenly, you know, you're our Indian buddy, and we talk about fancy shit on here. Colonialist stuff gets brought up all the time. So we wanted to talk about the British Raj, which Cho just found out last week. It was called the Raj, and he was like, that's a hidden word. You know, we Googled it, and it means rule. British rule, so, you know, makes sense.
Yeah.
But British Raj does sound cooler,
well,
I think.
Well, the kings in the old kingdom, pre-British colonialism, were called Rajas. Like, the kings are called Rajas. So, like, the Raj is kind of a...
Name for the ruling caste,
yeah.
Did you know this?
And my caste is called Rajputs.
Rajputs?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to talk about caste shit, too. Hell yeah, I've always been fascinated by that, but...
Before we get started, though, I want to know, did you know that before we told you you were coming on this show? I ask because you famously, Trey pointed this out to me, claim to be not a good Indian and don't know stuff.
Sometimes.
But you said that you might feather through Wikipedia.
I was gonna red dot through Wikipedia.
I opened up Wikipedia and I got really bored immediately.
Right.
Yeah. I just was like, no, I do not want to read this. But... there is a politician or like a knowledge, whatever. He's like an intellectual guy.
He was a knowledge man from London.
Mm-hmm. His name is Shashi Tagore. And he's basically, he has this lecture about how the British Empire owes India reparations because of what they did to them. I listened to about 15 minutes of that, and that's all I need, baby.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, few things. First of all, like, it's wild that could be so boring. It's why, like, okay. First of all, our buddy Mark, Smart Mark, he's been shitting all over my alien dreams lately. Like, I like alien stuff, and Mark just ain't down with it because his brain works and everything, and he's like a logical person. So, one of the things he said to sort of shoot holes in my alien stuff was he was like, you know, he's like, haven't you noticed, Trey, that all the only people that ever talk about this alien shit, all the sightings, everything, he's like, it only ever comes from, like, the British Commonwealth. Like, basically, place like America, Canada, like, former UK. It's only, like, former British places. And that don't make any sense. They would be everywhere. And I was like, whatever, Mark. Then I saw a few weeks ago that there was some alien shit going down in India. They reported some alien stuff. And at first, I was like, what now, Mark? How about that? And then I was like, oh, wait. India's like the biggest British Commonwealth. They were like the one after we handed them that L in 1776. Like, other than that, like, you guys were like their prized possession
for sure
for a long time.
I mean, we upheld that whole kingdom.
Right. Yeah.
And
you guys
all
were like
Scotland was literally funded by India. But
they made so much money.
Who was the Indian?
It, of course, turned out to be bullshit.
It now is told to be bullshit.
But they, I wish I could find the picture. And I'll, maybe
but
I'll
there's
try
a
to
picture,
find
or is it? Like...
Well, it purportedly, but it's so.
Wait, is this the one that looked like a Mexican?
But except he actually looks very much like an Indian.
Right.
Like there was
Mayan.
There was an Indian hearing about aliens, or whatever, and they had a picture of an alien, and the alien looked very Indian, like. Which is funny, anyway, no, they, you guys were like their, what am I trying to say? Like that, y'all were like their business. Like India was like
the Indian
they
trade
made,
company.
So, they y'all were like their Amazon or whatever for like 400 years. You made so much money for the king and them.
I mean, what happened? I mean, we can get into the. I don't know the timeline as well as I probably should be, you know, as an Indian expert, but I have what happened in India until. 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, because of the post-colonial reign, India shut itself out from international trade. Like for the next 50 years, India was like...
With all international trade?
They were just timid. They just did not open
right,
up their trade
they
again.
Were, they were
because they're like, we got
right.
fucked the first time
yeah,
this people showed up. And that is the reason why the diaspora out of India was so immense, including my parents. Everyone in
the
60s, 70s, everyone left India because if you don't open up international trade, even in like, you know, in those times,
you stagnate
and you stagnate and there's no job. So, and but like the culture is based in education. So then people are like the cream of the crop left.
So because of the British, y'all have a monopoly on Southern gas stations.
Yes,
that's
correct. 70%
goes back to
60% hotels.
Yeah.
We
and that may sound racist, but I don't have a problem with it. So it's just stereotypical. And like, also, tell me that ain't true.
But it's like to an entire country be in this like turtle shell shock phase of their entire country's history. It doesn't make sense, but like it just makes
sense
in terms of like how it's happening. And apparently, like some of the facts, just off the top of my head, to kick off this conversation, is like during the time when British entered India's world and started taking them, you know, the first few years, India had like 24% of the world GDP. They were making 24% of the world's everything, economy.
For Dad, who's editing this, that's gross domestic product. Go ahead.
And by the time they left, it was down to 4%. So they just absorbed a fifth of the world's wealth through this country and siphoned it off.
Right.
It's crazy. What a fucking crazy thing that they did
two
and got away with.
Two follow-ups, and then we can move on. Because, okay. First follow-up.
Go Dawgs.
First follow-up, and I'm not being funny. I want a genuine answer because I've never thought to ask.
Sure.
Unless I've asked you and I was drunk and you answered and I don't remember. First question, why is it that your people were so drawn to gas stations and hotels? And secondly, if Britain... stole everything from y'all, and y'all were a very heavily spice-trafficking country, do they not put any of that shit on their food?
Yeah, they get roasted for that all the time. They had all this access to
the
so
best
many
spices.
So many of the spiciest parts of the whole world, they, like, colonized, and yet their food don't hit.
Right.
The British, the
hell.
British.
Yeah, and it's
like America,
how do you even pull that off,
yeah,
you know?
Like, in America, we... absolutely take the hit in this. Like, we we be used, like, oh, Mexico, we'll steal that. We'll do this. I mean, like, we still
Americanize
it.
Yeah, but your food is still bland meatloaf, pot roast, meat, and potatoes at the end of the day. American food.
For sure, but we've had the equivalent in England, and ours is tastier and
sure.
Hold on.
Flavorful.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, you're from the South. You're from Alabama.
Right.
We stole it all from black people.
Yep.
Let's get that out there. But that's kind of furthering our
point
though.
Of like, we will
but
take
like,
stuff that hits.
Southern food will kill you dead, but it ain't bland
it's
and it
bland.
Does hit. Like,
now,
soul food, Southern cuisine is like,
granted,
Midwestern white people, like,
well,
for sure.
But, and as we know, my family is, a lot of them are from Iowa, and when you do it right, it's good, but a large part don't. And I can understand from Tushar's perspective that, like, every now and then in the South, you will run into a meat and three. And they clearly, they're the only one in town, and they don't care, and they don't even put salt on their green beans, and they just pour them out of a can. So, like, yeah, I could see if someone's first impression of the South was that, they'd be like, their food is bland. But, again, like, we had England's, their best version. You know what I'm saying?
Fish and chips.
And it was bland. From places that's like, this is the deal.
But some of the hitness stuff in India that we're in England that we had was their Indian food. Absolutely. But it's like, but they don't, that's still Indian food. You know what I mean? Because of the history there, their curry and shit hits real hard.
They also changed Indian food itself. Chicken tikka masala.
That's a British dish,
not an Indian dish. It's a chicken.
They made that to hit for the white Brits.
They adapted
it. It's like Americanized Chinese food and stuff.
I've never had it over there, but it hits for me when I make chicken tikka masala because I make it hit.
You do it through Trader Joe's microwaveable dinners.
No. Well, I do it through a sponsor that I don't know is sponsoring this show, so I will only say that they hit.
So, but you like when your mama. When she made us that big spread, that was legit, right? Because I tell you all the time, that's like one of the best meals I've ever had in my entire life.
Aside from what Drew said, it was lovely.
You remember? What did he say?
He said, you know how Drew be? He'd be slaw-tistic or whatever. Like cloves was part of the seasoning and he like bit into a clove and like just blurted out. He was like, oh, it's like biting into a cigarette butt or something. And we all were just like, bruh, you know, like, and he was like
cigarettes.
Yeah. And he was like, I didn't mean, it's great. Not like that. You know, and then he's like backpedaling afterwards stuff, but it was so good.
Cause he didn't say, oh, that was a whole clove, which if you eat a lot of it, tastes like a cigarette.
He just took
a bite of your sweet mama's food and goes, oh, like I'm biting into a cigarette.
My favorite part of that dinner or lunch was when we were all at the end and there's a few things left on your plate, and Trey looks at you like an older father and was like, You're gonna finish that right now. You're not gonna push that shit around the plate, you're not gonna put a napkin over it and get away with it.
Yeah, because
and you're like, you're right,
because dude, it was absolutely fire. But I was we'd been doing stand up, I was hungover as
and we were eating a lot,
and we were eating bread. Our first plate, we had the naan or whatever, like, no, it was delicious.
We also were a little high, she ain't gonna hear this. We had gotten a little high and went and watched Solo. Space Squid got his dick rocked.
And then we had an hour conversation of I don't know what the fuck these critics were thinking. This fucking smashed.
Yeah.
And then we went, and your mom was cooking for us after that, and we went over there, and I don't know about y'all, but I was higher than I thought I'd be. Like, we did that before the movie, and I was like, by the time we get to Two Shard Mama House, be fine. We were walking in there, and I was like, I'm not fine.
I kept thinking,
like, she gonna know. You know, that whole thing. Two Shard Mama know I'm high, especially how hard I'm going in on all this fucking food she made. Unhinge my jaw.
Yeah, if only we'd had mood then, we would have been totally fine.
Yeah.
Okay, getting back to your first question. Why are Indians good at hotels and gas stations?
I don't necessarily mean good, because you're smart, industrious people. I mean drawn to those specifically, but go ahead.
So out of that, and this, I mean, I guess it does come off from an offshoot of British Raj, but the reason Indians own like 60% of hotels and 70% of gas stations is because...
Is that a real number?
It's like 60 to 70% of the national number, which is
fucking crazy.
That's insane.
Like crazy. And I think that might be Southeast region, but like, I think once you get into the Northeast and more populous, it's like less that. But especially in the Southeast, it's like dominated. And the reason is that hotels are typically run by two groups of people.
The Patels. Oh, I was fucking right. I thought that was just me.
So they're Gujaratis.
Nobody, everybody knows
that's a state in India.
I thought it was just racism. I didn't know it was a fact.
And these people Patels and Gujaratis are like, they're built to be merchants, and their whole life, they're not necessarily academics, although their kids are like,
they're always in there studying.
Their kids, like, they're ultimately have like, they have this hustling mentality. Yeah. And what they do is they'll come, and this is a story that we hear all the time, is like, the first family came here in the early 80s.
Right.
This guy came and he busted his ass. He got he dealt with all the racism, this, that.
Passed
somehow got a thing. He opened his first hotel. He had his family live in the hotel, clean the shit of the hotel. The kids are playing, whatever. Yeah. They're living in, out of the hotel. Then they haul over one of their cousins. They live with them. They loan them, float them money to open the second hotel.
Right.
So they're operating in a capitalist culture. They're operating like a family.
Like
a mafia.
So semi-communistic in terms of like living behavior, but like entrepreneurially capitalist.
Good luck competing with that.
No, exactly.
Good fucking luck. Anyone else competing with that level of hustle, that level of sacrifice. And then fine. 20 hotels later, they're all riding Mercedes and they all have mansions.
On that note, I had a job in college briefly before I ended up at O'Charley's waiting tables. I worked at a Holiday Inn, which had like a bunch of conference rooms and would host banquets and that type of shit. And it was owned by these two Indian brothers, the Patels. Mm-hmm. And dude, they were fucking hardcore. Like, their standards were very high. Like, we'd have to go into a conference room and flip it over for the Lions Club coming through, right, and the Kiwanis just left or whatever. Right. We'd have to flip the conference room over, and we'd go in there, and, like, we would not, I'm not just saying this to y'all, like, we would not fuck around. Like, we'd go in there and just do it. We'd just start the process of breaking it down, do it, waste no time, not dick off, just do it. And they would come in there and just light our asses up, dude.
Still.
Still they come in there and they'd be like, you guys are still doing this? Like, how long is it supposed to take you? It's like, it's suspect, guys. Honestly, yeah. It's suspect that it takes this many of y'all this long just to do this one thing.
Right.
You know, and we're all sitting there like, we didn't even fucking take a weed break or nothing. Right, you know, of course, we were 20-year-old dipshits. Right. So I'm not saying, but I'm saying they had a very high standard for productivity.
Indians are the argument for pro-immigration in this country, like, Indians have taken the most advantage of it. Follow the rules.
Right.
We pay the taxes. We don't want to fuck around. Once we hit a certain wealth level, they all turn Republican. Like, it's great. It's the American dream.
That's so funny. Two things I want to say on behalf of that, because you're so correct and you're sort of opening my eyes up. Like, number one, when you were mentioning, like, they all live in the hotel or whatever, we have one gas station in, like, Chickamauga proper, and then, like, on the outskirts where Chickamauga sortly turns to the quote-unquote other side of the tracks, there's another gas station, both of whom owned by Indian families, right?
Yay, yay.
Both of them. The one out towards the cove and the dump, it is a little less successful, but only because it's not in the main part of town, but, like, they've still been there forever, and they do have a very loyal clientele because their prices are great. And for a long time, I was like, how the fuck are, like, I thought, like, Budweiser set them prices and you just gotta, and then one day I was in there and I'd kind of become friends with them, and I was walking back, the lady was showing me something, and I noticed two cots back there, and I found out from somebody that was like, oh, they live here, and this gas station is tiny, and they live in the back, and because they do that, and they say they don't pay for a house or whatever, they can afford to, hey, we'll cut the prices down here, everybody comes here, we're good. And and now I don't know if they still do that now, but I'm talking for 10 solid years at least, they lived there. Also, two of the happiest, sweetest people ever. So, like, it did not hit for
them. Could you imagine where they came from?
No, I can't. Because like, the
crazy,
the dude, Raj, that owns the one in Chickamauga, he's Indian, but it's very clear to me that he grew up, like, his parents moved here and he grew up here. Right. You know what I mean? Those two, like, when they first got there, like, didn't understand me much. That's, I didn't understand crazy, them. Yeah. So, like, I think they came, like, their first generation.
Fresh,
you know
fresh,
what I mean?
Fresh,
but again, hustling, and what you just said, we were talking about this the other day. Where I'm from, because it's the South, the whole country's racist. Everybody goddamn knows that. The whole world is. But in the South, we get the brunt end of the criticism from everybody. But, like, I was telling them about how, like, I said, it is so wild that gas station, this is now the second Indian family that's on this particular gas station, and I swear on my life, and they took it over from, it's called Ed's, and there was a guy, Big Ed, white guy, overalls, that used to own it. They bought it when he decided to move along, and I genuinely expected there to be, like, some Papaw's screaming at clouds. No one said shit. No one ever goes, goddamn Indian guy. No one. Everyone
because
loves
because we run it well.
That's what I'm saying. But, like, yeah.
Well, dude, they're not in my hometown, but in the neighboring tiny little redneck ass town, Livingston, they got a number of gas stations. Most of them were owned by Indian families or whatever. And one of them I know isn't, because they have a massive sign on the side of their gas station. Also, by the way, it's probably easily the shittiest one,
right,
too, just so everybody knows. But they have a massive sign on the side of it that says, owned and operated by American Tennesseans.
Nice.
Right? It's like, not like them goddamn Indian Tennesseans, you know what I mean? Like,
they have the better gas stations.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, so they got some feelings on the matter. But
and then they get together and they have, like, I've done a few shows for, like, conventions for these people, like South Indian gas station and hotel owners association, and then they start getting, because they are such a unit of a buying power, they start buying,
conglomerating shit.
Yeah, they start, like, having buying power against Frito-Lay and all the fucking poison they sell. And that's the funny thing is, like, gas is okay, fine. Everyone needs gas, but everything you sell in the gas station is poison.
Right.
Yeah.
Cigarettes, well, like all the like gas, yeah, lotteries, got you know, every,
booze.
So
the,
like
they sell the gas station kratom, every, yellow jackets,
everything that hits, guys.
And so they're making the, immense wealth from America's like inherent need to try to kill themselves.
Good also, for them.
I agree.
Fucking old tide roll.
I'm glad they're doing it.
Not to mention the chore boys and the glass roses that everyone knows is just used as a filter for meth and a crack pipe.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yep.
Right, but again, people gonna do it. I'm glad these people are hustling. Like, what are you gonna do?
Right.
Best drug I've ever had in my entire life to this day was briefly sold legally by an Indian gas station in Cookeville, Tennessee when I was in college.
What was that?
Yeah, they called it Molly's Plant Food. It was like, you know how like they're back then, now they got Delta 8 and whatnot, but back then they had like spice, which was like fake weed, which was legal, and it would just fuck not in a good way either.
I remember doing that a few times.
It was
like
horrific.
Horrific.
Well, briefly, they came out with this, it was like a legal version of Molly, right? Hey, college kids, legal version of Molly called Molly's Plant Food, and dog, that shit
incredible.
Incredible, buddy. I was so bummed when they, you know, they figured it out pretty quick, the authorities, and put a stop to it. But for a while, me and the homies, we had us some dance parties, bruh. Raving in a trailer.
Can't stop.
Trailer raves, dog. Trailer raves. Yeah. Good time.
All right. We're getting away from the old British Raj, though.
Oh, thank you for keeping us on track on the show.
Well, no. So, again, I want to get to cast stuff at some point, but stick with the British. Like, how do you feel about the British?
I know some people who is like in India who are like there's a legacy hate for them.
Sure.
Well, of course. Why wouldn't there be?
But all those people
have
superseded hate that is based off of like what the British did, and the shittiest thing they did was break up the country religiously.
Okay.
When they were leaving, They did a few things while they were there. They basically said, for example, the Hindras. You know the Hindras?
Refresh me, but
so,
I'm
so
that
Hindras in the Indian society are the transsexuals.
Okay. They're the one with all the arms too?
No. These are like the men who are the women who dress up with saris, and basically how Indian culture dealt with that historically before this was like, okay, you have a kid, the kid is a boy, but the kid's a girl, right? And eventually the parents
like
are
like, spiritually?
No, like physically. Okay, like yeah. they're hermaphrodite or something in the middle, like there's something going on. And so instead of like having the kid live in a society with them, and I'm sure that happened a lot, they would just like basically the kid would be taken by this group of effective gypsies. We would call them gypsies, but they're just people who live outside on the outskirts. But they were almost
wanderers.
They're almost respected out of the culture.
So
and
not
how
gypsies.
They made money was they come during certain life moments, like funerals and mostly weddings, and they were given like they could bless the wedding and bless the couple, and then they are given money when the couple, and so like it's a tax that you pay to be like, all right, they're going to come, they're going to bless the kid. And if you don't
like
get
mob protection but spiritually,
well,
something
it's
like
also
that.
Also kind of like, I mean, you said they're like gypsies do that, right? Gypsies,
yeah, right.
Gypsies have spells and curses.
There was a big plot line in Peaky Blinders about it.
Yeah. So that was set up by the culture to absorb, and just they understand that people are not necessarily, you know, going to adhere to like family structure, in this case joint family, but like they're like, okay, the British come and they're like, yeah, that's illegal. These people are second class citizen. You can't do that.
Yeah,
and so all of a sudden you out of this thing is like, it's built for stability. It's to keep the society going. And if the British come and say, hey, by the way, these people are second class citizens, so that's vilified, that's evil. No, you can't do that.
What year is this?
Mid-1800s. Okay. It's between that and them instituting these like class rules where they're saying people below class are even now the people in the lower class are even lower because we showed up. It pushes everyone down.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You know, right. So like, so then this thing becomes institutionalized in a non-healthy way. And then when they're leaving, And also, they basically were like, let's fan the flames between Hindu Muslims, because that's, you know, these people are animals. They fight like animals.
Right.
These, you know, so like, it's kind of a manifest destiny thing. It's like, well, they're animals. Let's let them fight. Okay, let's partition the whole country. And before them, from what I understand, yes, there's like hundreds of years of Mughals coming and capturing 100 years of other like Hindu. But at the end of the day, like that fraction of the country in a way that's still affected now. Like, people hate Muslims more than they should.
So ultimately, it's a situation where the powers that be were like, hey, so that they won't all gang up on us, let's divide them, and they'll be so mad at each other that they won't realize, hey, you know what we should really be pissed at?
Classic. That is a classic playbook. Chapter one move right there, buddy.
Bro. It is effective.
So I'm not saying this, obviously. I'm saying the British at the time, the pro-colonialists, the argument that those people would make about everything that they were doing was, you know, they'd be like, well, what we're doing is we're civilizing the savage world. Like, you know what I mean? They need to put some bloody pants on, right? They go there and it's like, look at all these snakes.
Do something about the snakes,
for Christ's sake. You've got tigers. What is going on here? But their whole, like, argument would be that they were like, civilizing,
yeah, like America.
I don't know. I think they were. That was like the cover. I think that was the cover, and that
but
was
easy
like
to
that,
sell.
That was a nice marketing angle. But at the end of the day, if you really want to get mad at what the British did, you just a few quotes from Winston Churchill will really rectify. It was all money,
right.
And they were like, yes, let's let this population starve so that we can increase our reserves.
Yeah, right.
We don't even need this shit.
Yeah, right.
But we're just going to be like, well, they're animals. So let's literally, like, I don't know details, but there's a few situations where they let entire states just starve during a war or whatever, internal war. They're like, yeah, we're just going to cut off supply lines because we need to pad our future fucking horse feed or whatever the hell they have.
What do you think about Winston Churchill being kind of deified in Western society? You know what I mean? He's a legendary figure amongst Western white people. He gets jerked off all the time.
Yeah,
like,
people who do that always do.
Right.
I think it makes...
Indians, it must be like he's the devil, right?
Yeah, but okay. Between... there's a few things that the British did that is fucking awesome. That imperialism does, which is infrastructure, English. Those are two big things that still last today.
Right,
the buildings they're doing those things out of self-interest primarily. Right, they want everyone to speak English.
Well,
they want to build a railroad system so they can transport their shit.
Right,
they want all these things.
Right,
but at the same time, their foot is on the whole fucking country.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And
it's
devastating.
Sort of like that. You ever seen the Life of Brian, Monty Python movie, Life of Brian?
I just watched it the other day with Bane.
Where they're like, they got this like group of like dissidents who are having a meeting about protests or whatever, and they're like, name one thing the Romans have ever done for us. And somebody's like, the aqueduct?
Yeah.
He's like, well, yeah, okay, the aqueduct. But besides the aqueduct, name one thing the Romans have done for us. He's like, the sewers? Right. So besides the aqueduct and the sewers, name one thing. He's like, about the roads? Okay, besides the roads, the aqueduct, and the sewers, name one thing. Like, the Colosseum.
Yeah,
you know, and it goes on like that, like repeatedly. But that's funny. It's like, I love Monty Python, but that's like, and that joke always hit for me, and that's a well-executed funny scene,
but fundamentally
but
you disagree
it's from
with the notion.
But it's like you could tell it was written by British dudes.
Of course,
you know what I mean. Because
it's from
it's
a
like,
place of what would you be without us?
It's kind of a pro-colonial bit, sort of. Which I didn't think about that at 13 when I watched it. I was like, this is just funny, but like it's actually very, very British and sort of colonially in retrospect.
Having that attitude. I mean, you know, it's the same argument too that like. You know, when we met, like when someone who is like just vehemently against taxes, like taxation is theft, and then you're like, okay, fair, but like we have to be able to do all this shit. Don't you like them, you know, roads that you drive on, the public library or whatever? Like, we're a little bit doing a version of that because to them, they're like, oh, so because every now and then they put that money to some good use, it's fine that they gouge us all and then give most of it to tankers to explode other countries.
Yeah, but I think you can have that opinion because I have that opinion.
I do too.
Like,
I'm
you
just
can
saying
have
it's,
that
it's
opinion
it's
while
kinda
still
close.
You can have that opinion while still recognizing that like you got to pay taxes.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
Agree.
Like
I agree.
Like because the people that are super hardcore is like no taxes at all. It's just ridiculous. You know. I'm a cat person, but I've seen on the internet a couple times the cat analogy for libertarians.
Mm-hmm.
Like libertarians are like house cats because they are like they live with complete disdain
for a system that they are utterly dependent on without realizing it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, for sure. And then, like, there are some of those house cats that are like, fuck it, I could go be an outside cat. And then they try and they, you know, get murdered by an actual outside cat because they were a false prophet.
So, but anyway, all right, back to the Brits, though. You said earlier you were like, oh, they came in and they stratified things even more. They pushed everybody down class-wise immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But how does that work? You guys had the caste system predates them, right?
Yeah.
And that, so you guys already had a stratified society, right? And you're saying they came in and they just bumped everybody down a level and just made it worse? You're from Alabama.
We still have
They still have a caste society.
Yeah,
I was hoping
we'd get into how that, like, you know, it's not like y'all all the time hit.
We don't hit at all times. But we have, just for your listeners, like, the caste system historically is like, it's like five layers.
Okay.
Okay, so the highest level is Brahmins.
People with elephants.
Brahmins are the educated class and the priest class.
Do they have elephants, though? Was I kind of right?
Sure.
Okay.
They got elephant money, you know.
Right, yeah, that's what I meant.
They got the elephant walk, tell you that much. So the Brahmin class are anyone educated or priestly. So, like, priests, lawyers, doctors.
Oh, they're at the tippy top.
Anyone who needs is, like, running the mind, academics, university professors. You don't think, like, number one, university professors.
That used to be us. But
I was
going to
say
now.
That kind makes of sense. Hits for me because it does
me,
make
no,
cause
I like
that.
Because
like
that's how
England,
society runs.
Well, like in England, the top class famously does nothing.
Right.
They like aristocrats, right. Like the top of their society. They're like, what on earth is a job?
A weekend?
Yeah. What is that? They don't do shit.
Not only do they not do shit, they are looked down upon by their peers if they
try
to
do shit.
If one of them was like, I'm helping down at the blah, 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 they'd be like, whoa.
Having any kind of job is like gross.
Yeah, gross. Even if you don't
need it. Fucking disgusting.
The highest caste system being made up of people who actually contribute to society.
Right.
Like,
I'm blown away by that.
At least there's that.
To me, makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Second in line are the, and remind you, this is like kingdoms that are closed off. So like the warriors and the rulers. So like these are the kings.
The rulers are number two?
Number two. So like number two on the list, and that's my group.
God damn
I knew you hit. Yeah.
And we're big. We're number two. Technically.
He's like, you know.
Yeah.
But like they are the king class, like king whatever, and then the war, like the military class.
You hit so much harder over there than we over here.
Yeah.
And we don't but we don't not hit.
I mean, I do not.
I do not hit at all, but like again,
we're talking about like the caste he's in. If you're looking at it from that perspective, like I'm from the very bottom of the social strata this country.
I guess you adjust for race.
I'm about to say I am still a white guy, so thank God
you're
for that.
You're a straight white male.
Yeah, I know.
Above the height of 5'10".
Yes, but I'm from a fucking like
caste perspective.
Hillbilly ass.
Yeah.
Fucking poverty-stricken area of rural Tennessee.
I'm sorry,
like,
you can't be
bigger trash.
So that's two, and the third are the merchants. So that's the wealthy class. So mind you, number three is
it's
the
still
wealthy.
Good to be.
So this is that's what I'm saying. Like the point of
does three make more money often than one?
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
So that's the merchant. There's the owners, the people who run the stores, the people who run the grocery stores, the people who run those things, the admin people who own the stores. Number four are the people who work for them. So all the workers, and then number below that is people who clean up shit, and you just work your way down to like nothing. Right.
That's the only one of those.
Hold on,
wait.
You said below that. There's two more though below that, right? You said there's five, right?
So it's five.
So there's the educated class, the
priest,
the warrior class, the merchant
owners,
class, and then
workers.
So four is like standard laborers.
Yeah, four is standard laborers,
and
five is like the cleanup crew.
Right.
Janitors.
Janitors, cleanup crew, people who clean shit
on
the street.
So like a construction worker would be like four.
Construction worker would be four.
But like
that's skilled labor.
But like a janitor or something is five.
You have to wear a patch.
Okay.
And no, because the thing is, it's based on your vocation. It's not right. based. It,
it's not and based
your
on money.
And your vocation is what your family does.
Right.
Okay, so, so but like, you are still born into
so
it.
So you're born into it, and good luck. Well, see, good luck getting out, and all marriages are and within see, those systems.
So you're not working your way up from a shit shoveler.
You but can, if, you, if you're right. like in the prominent class, and if you're trying to marry someone from the merchant class back then, no bueno. But
even
maybe,
though they made more money.
Doesn't matter.
That's crazy.
But I'm saying, to the, in 2023, if you're born in the fifth class, the janitor class or whatever, yeah. like, they ain't, there's nothing you can do about that?
So
are
now,
they allowed
so
to
now,
go to colleges
so
and
now
learn
they're
shit,
doing
or?
The affirmative action. They're saying 20% needs to hit this quota.
Oh, they come over here
and it's
hit.
No, no, I'm saying, like, even yeah. in universities, colleges, job, like, they are trying to have that thing happen where, like, okay,
right.
20% of your educated class has to be, this is the same thing for race here, like, you need a certain amount of black people in a school before you to be accredited or whatever.
Or, okay.
Or, you know, like,
so the people in that lowest class, they're going to college and shit now. 20% or like, so, that's the
if
idea.
They can, but I'm dude, one of the funniest, this is a kind of a side story, but there's a lawsuit in California that's trying to ban caste discrimination because what was happening was like, people in the lowest caste in India were like basically figuring out a way to fly to California and start work and do the American dream shit. And they ended up coming here. They ended up working at a gas station. Their person who owns the gas station is of a higher caste and treats them like shit because
wow.
of their shitty caste from India.
Even though,
and
yeah.
so now they're causing a tizzy and they're like, and the California is so woke. They're
right.
like, this is part of now a discrimination blanket. LGBTQ and your caste.
Okay.
You're like, yo,
yeah. I mean,
what?
I'm not surprised to hear that.
That's
at
not
all.
Surprising.
Like
but
if,
I
the,
just
if,
loved
the,
it.
If the higher caste, they come over from India and then also a lower caste person comes up, like,
yeah.
of course they're going to treat them.
And there's
that
discrimination.
Well, yeah, yeah, of course,
yeah.
But
to
stupid,
have that
but,
discrimination now part
so,
of like the zeitgeist of like,
I mean, that's
wokeness,
a very California thing.
Very
California. Yeah, Alabama ain't fucking with all that.
So
they're like, you're all Indians, right?
Yeah. yeah.
I don't understand. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that lunch?
Yeah.
Right. So, oh my God. Brain fart. Okay. So you were talking about how now they're trying to do a thing where like they have a quota, 20% from the don't hit class has to go to college or whatever. Like,
yeah.
would you say, because you're talking about the mass exodus, I don't remember the word you used. What was the word for like when you're
diaspora?
Diaspora.
Yeah.
Okay. So like how much of effect did the, there's a mass exodus from India, all these people coming to America. And realize, now, I'm not about to suggest that America is perfect or even hits. However, at least, don't get me wrong, dude, if you're born poor in America, there is a grand chance that you will die poor in America.
Almost
but,
certainly.
Almost certainly. But theoretically, anybody can be anything.
Well, that's
like,
the grand lie of
I
our country.
Is.
You know,
I know
like,
it
that's,
is. But over
that's
there,
our whole thing.
But over there, it's not. There's no lie. It's like, no, you
I know,
can't. Yeah,
I know,
right.
right.
But then, like, but then sometimes they come over here and they do that. Like they actually work really hard and they do that. Those people then go back to India and start telling everybody about all this shit. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's
well,
like, we're going to have to start.
But hold on. Do they do that though? Meaning,
I don't, that's
like,
what I'm asking.
Meaning, the people that come over here from India and do the gas station hotel stuff, they're from that merchant caste, right?
Not necessarily.
Right?
They're from
so
all,
it's
they're
not,
all over the place.
So like someone from the lowest caste, theoretically, they could come over here and they could start hitting here, and that would be okay.
That's
I'm sure
how,
it
I've
happens,
seen it,
right?
I've seen it. Yeah.
I okay, well, that's what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, but if that person goes back to India, are they going to be trash
they're,
again?
They're,
even if
they're
like, we
I
don't
mean,
give a fuck.
I mean, money rules everything,
dude,
so they
right.
can get away with it. But they will still have that chip on their shoulder.
But that's not
they
what
will
I'm
still
suggesting.
In their
they
own
make,
soul be like, I'm a. You know,
if they make a lot of money, buddy, I get that. Yeah. But if they make a lot of money over here, and then let's say. Then they've got, they're rich as fuck, but they came from the lowest class caste. Like that happens. They have kids. These kids grow up rich. Are those kids, they're still from the lowest caste? Like you can't ever do nothing about that, no
I
matter
think,
what.
I do think now because of money and the internet and blah, 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 there's mobility in India.
Right.
Meaning,
even in Britain,
meaning,
you could be like knighted or something.
These arguments that we have, or this argument of the caste, like I think it holds, just like in rural America, these like, villagey shit, they hold more true. These old customs hold more true. Whereas, like in India, like in rural lands, yes, the caste system is more dominant because that's the thing that governs them, right? But with migration patterns to cities, the cities are inherently more open-minded. Companies
okay.
don't give a fuck if you can get value. So, like,
right.
there's a certain amount of like that these ideals being literally eroded away, because not just in this realm, but like you can date, you can fucking go on dating apps now, you can date whoever the fuck you want. Like there's things that are like crushing this whole system, because the system is fueled by marriage and joint family and all this stuff.
My what do question, you mean? Meaning like marriages, they only have to happen within the same cast and stuff, and that's always how it goes, and that's why...
Yeah, well, think
so about, keeps the cast system in place, is that people marry within the same cast.
The notion of a joint family. Right. My mom grew up in a joint family. My family, everyone grew up in a family. So like you have three generations living under one household. You have like a 7-bedroom house, and there's 6 families in there. Grandpa with grandmas in one, 3 brothers, you know, so they all live under one house. There's a clear hierarchy. And what happens is, let's say you have a son, he's about to get married. That dude ain't moving nowhere. What's right. happening is you're going to get a wife from another family to come move in.
Right.
What is that wife going to have from the family's perspective?
They're going to have regrets.
No. I'm saying like, what are you looking for? What is the family looking for? Is the family doormat. If the family's setting this up on their own,
shut mouth.
They're Sorry, go not going to look for someone who's in a different caste, language, right. family, different food. They're going to try to find the same exact thing,
right?
Which means the same cast, which is the same thing happens here.
Well, I was about to say, I get like, dude, like, even
but I'm saying
like
that
Katie,
propagates the whole thing.
Like, I didn't think about it this way, but like. It was a huge thing when I realized that Katie was from fucking Wayne County, which is similar to Clay. And I went there and saw, and also like, Katie's also a fucking liberal queer from a place like that. Like most of the girlfriends I had were like Christian conservatives and shit. Right, dude. Fence post, right, and mean ones, yeah. right, because I grew up where I grew up, and then but I've been with Katie for fucking 15 years or whatever, and we're married and have kids and shit, and we never talked about it this way. But I know part of it was because I realized that like. We were from like the same type of place and the same type of background.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, obviously, like you're so just. Gonna,
it just makes sense.
It makes sense, but it's like not even in like a I would never date someone lower than me. It's just like.
Katie's listening right now, going like, I mean, you guys are way more trash than we are.
Of course you are.
She's there yelling at the phone. She's like, I mean, my parents are still together, and they had job. Like, I don't know why you're.
House.
I don't know why you're acting like we don't hit when everybody knows you don't hit, Trey. Like that's not like. Like I was from the other side of the tracks compared to Katie.
Right. But like it's not but like over here, don't get me wrong, there's definitely some people who would be, you know, in the 1 or 2 cast if we had that, who like they push their kids to like you also marry someone with money, don't marry But like, you know, but for a lot of times it's not people who go, I will not marry someone that's from a different thing than me. It's just that like you naturally get along better with someone who has a similar experience you do. Like that's just how that works. Your chemistry is going to be better. You have a, like you have like not necessarily shared memories, but like we had the same childhood, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But it's more formalized.
That's what I'm saying.
It's more formalized.
Like
I'm talking about
happens over here on accident. I'm talking about
if your father is decide, like my mom was told to marry my dad.
Of course.
She did not want to, which means like there's the freedom in like this like decision. Like, it would be nice to have a girl who can talk to my parents. It's not like that. You're like, we did the research. The parents talked. They clicked.
And you're getting married. Yeah, right. But again,
it is what it is. It's like it's hard to break the caste system.
Of course.
But they moved over here. They settled in Alabama. Mm-hmm. They had
and now you're dating
a cracker.
You've got a cracker girl, cracker ass, honky face cracker.
But that probably don't hit for your mama too much, does it?
Like, surely she's given up on him.
She's given up on me.
She is
just happy I'm not, you know, I'm with someone
gay.
I'm not gay.
Yeah. It's funny that
how's that work over there? Still, like being gay, is that
I think it's a pretty major problem. I think now, I think it's starting. Like once again, in the cities, it's a lot more.
Do you
open.
Lose a cast point if you're gay? Like if you're a one but you're gay,
I'm at a 62.
I'm just saying, I bet you there's a lot of gay ones because they're the academics. Does that make them a 2 in some people's eyes?
I have 5 uncles. 2 of them were gay.
Nice.
They all had kids with women. Like I'm saying, like
Well, dude, my look, he never came out of the closet.
Yeah.
But everyone in my family knew. My uncle Bernard, like he was as gay as the day is long. But he also begrudgingly had a wife.
You kind of got to give it up to my Uncle Tim. I feel like because the generation
Tim's
he's from and where he's from, like. He did not play that shit.
I'm
like
here
he's from a generation of Southern men where like They married women. They had kids. They pretended. And he was like, Nope, I'm about that dick and butt life.
Yeah, and I was gonna say,
y'all are gonna have to just deal with that.
It's a solitary life.
Yeah, I don't mean this in a stereotypically flamboyant way, but like he's loud and proud. He don't like to be like, I'm gay, but I don't really try to like. No, he will let you know within 5 minutes of meeting him, I am the bottom slot pig boy, and that's my jam. You got dicks, bring them on.
I still remember meeting him.
You got
first
a dick,
time.
I got a butt, baby.
Tushart, I don't know if I should get into all this right now, but when we're done, remind me to tell you what I was going to tell you about Uncle Tom.
I had a question in there,
I don't
want to
put him on Front Street.
I framed poorly, and I'll ask it, and then we can move on. Was that because now, like you said, they're trying to get the 20% of, like, we got to meet this quota or whatever. Like, do you think that was influenced by them realizing that a lot of lower class, like, people from the fives were going to America and realizing, holy shit, I can be something over here. And then they thought, oh my God, we're going to lose all of our shit shovelers because they're not going to stay. We have to at least fake like they don't always have to be a shit shoveler.
No, there's enough people in India and enough volume of people on the lowest end of the spectrum. They don't have to ever worry. I mean, there's still slaves there.
Right.
I'm talking about like servant-wise.
What?
Well, he's got some.
I'm not slaves. I'm saying like, there's so much population and this lower class that we're just casually talking about. It's like a third of the country, which is, I don't know, 400 million
more people than are in America.
So like,
total are in that
and
cast. We're
in that cast, yeah, right. And they are, and they're of an age, they're young, they're whatever, they're eager, and they're working hard. So because of that, there's a lot of like cheap labor across the board, which means every... even lower class, but even middle class or every whatever you're looking at it, there's a lot of people who live much nicer. And one thing that happened with families coming over here, especially like my mom, she's like, she grew up with like her father was a chief irrigation officer of a state, the biggest state in India. So like
he was
a waterman
and he worked for the government. So he's like
he traveled around the world looking at dams and how irrigation systems work and trying to institute it in their country, whatever, like high position. He had a house, he had five cars, he had a whole crew. And then my dad, you know, research scientist, comes to America. All of a sudden my mom has to do the fucking dishes. She has to do the laundry.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
I would not have thought that.
I was,
do you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, I didn't think... Sorry for this, but I figured over there, old-fashioned marriages and shit.
Women were still women.
No.
But you're saying the cast you guys were in, your mom
saying,
didn't
like,
have to... They had servants that did all that.
They had servants, even at the lower-ish level.
So for her, moving to Alabama is a step down. I mean, that's not that weird. That's not that
it's
weird
like,
for
it's
Alabama.
Like
people from Detroit have said that.
And you get... That's the American dream. And you're like, okay, well, we're going to come here. We're going to do this. There's free. There's clean. There's infrastructure, blah, blah, blah. But you got to do your own fucking laundry.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to run and get your own shit.
You can't have slaves. That's why we came to Alabama. Alabama. We heard that they were still doing that.
Damn
Do y'all know the famous conjoined twin? They're the reason that it was called Siamese twins. The Siamese twins from the 1800s. That's what it was called at the time. Ang and Chang. I know that sounds racist,
but
it's something
we
like that.
We talked about this on episode. When we say Chinese names, it sounds racist.
It's something like Ang and Chang. That's not, but they're these brothers who were conjoined by a little like flap of skin. But it was in the 1800s, so they were like, y'all just together forever. We can't scissor through that because you know everything dies when we do anything.
They say Gouda Ruck.
Yeah, right. But so, but
he
those
do
dudes.
That.
But do you
I
know?
Can do that.
Do you know who I'm? Yeah, he's Asian. Do you know who I'm talking about? Those dudes. Those guys are famous. You've seen pictures of the old timey Siamese twins, Asian guys.
Sure. Yeah.
So that was in the 1800s. They were huge on like the sideshow circuit and stuff in America. They made a shitload of money. Did y'all know that they then like retired to somewhere in the South and bought a shitload of slaves and became slave owners and were like,
fuck
yeah, and we're
out
like,
of here.
Yeah, right. They did. Yeah, they did. I think it was maybe North Carolina, but that might be wrong, but they retired somewhere in the South, took all their circus money, bought a bunch of slaves and became, despite being Asian, I think they became like sort of in that little group of like the plantation fellers in the area where they were living in.
Aristocrats.
You know,
yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Ain't that wild?
That's
wild.
Yeah. You know, I get people just like, well, if you had money in the 1800s,
what else you gonna spend it on? You know,
their racism was combined at the hip too. Like right, that is fucking. That's insane. How is that not more known?
I know, right? Well, I think because I think
the Chinese don't want to admit to.
Well,
it,
I think
and
that
also,
they're mostly looked at as like a Asian, an interesting historical oddity that's fun to talk about or whatever. And it's not fun to then mention that also they then owned a bunch of slaves.
Right.
You know what I mean? So people
I think
just
it is
people
fun
just
to
leave
say that.
People just leave that part out.
If this show wouldn't exist, if it wasn't fun to me to talk about the fact that they then owned slaves, it don't hit to own slaves, but it's very fun to learn that the most famous Siamese twins ever had a back 40 to their life that was more insane than being conjoined at a circus.
Yeah,
that is bananas. And so it was just literally the reason it was called Siamese Twins is because the most famous ones happened to be Asian.
I think that's right. So that part, their name was literally Chiang and Ang.
Nice.
Chiang and Ang. They retired and purchased 18 slaves to maintain their property. Their slave owner status cemented their support for the Confederacy during the Civil War.
Oh, my God.
They were on the side of the South and shit in the Civil War.
Okay. Hey, hold on just a second.
Yeah, they were from Thailand, which at the time was called Siam. So they were Siamese, and they were famously conjoined, and so it became Siamese twins.
There's some good-looking chubs.
Trey, because me and you were having this conversation a couple weeks ago, not on the show, on text, I sent you a Instagram post from that history account that I follow. I believe it was History Photographed. I highly suggest that you follow them on Instagram. And it was talking about, I believe it was the bearded lady. Was it the bearded lady? It was a circus freak or whatever. And on it, this is the 1800s, and it was talking about how in her show with the circus, she was paid $400 a week. And I sent it to you and go, dude, in the 1800s, this is so much goddamn money. And you were like, yeah, I don't believe it. Well, now that we know that the Siamese twins, who were a sideshow attraction at a circus, retired from the circus and bought slaves, aren't you convinced now that those people were making so much more money than you would ever think they would?
Yeah, so it's they only toured for 10 years, which I didn't realize. They toured on the freak show circuit for 10 years, and after 10 years of freak show touring, they had enough money to settle near Mount Airy, North Carolina. So
we couldn't do that.
So it was North Carolina. No, I mean,
they went viral.
I'm coming
up
on 10 years
pretty
soon, and I ain't got slave money.
You can't go buy 17
people. No, hell no. They became American citizens, bought their own slaves, married two local white women's sisters in North Carolina, fathered 21 children combined. A lot of those sons later fought for the Confederacy during the Civil War, and they had two houses on the same property. One was Chang's house, one was Aang's house. And they would alternate every 3 days. So, like, they'd spend 3 days in Chang's house with his wife and kids, and then 3 days in Aang's house with his wife and kids. After the Civil War, they got pretty fucked. They were on the wrong side. They were on the losing side. Right. They were on the side of the Confederacy.
What?
After the Civil War, they lost. They lost a lot of their wealth.
Slaves.
And They lost a lot of shit because of being on the wrong side of that. And then they had to go back to touring after that. And they ended up. They died. They died at the age of 62. And
they both died at the same time?
Well, yeah, because they, you know, they shared a lot. Like,
what? But they only had to flap. I thought they had their own individual stuff.
Well, see, I've always heard that. Yeah, I mean,
by
they,
the way,
they
good
both
for
had,
them for dying at the same
kids?
Time.
They had 21 kids combined.
By the way, can I say something?
But
aside
from
the owning
that's
slaves,
them right there. Like they were, and I've since heard people say like if they were born in the modern era, it'd be so easy to separate them. But again, in the 1800s, they couldn't do that. But they shared like a blood stream and everything, so. One of them got sick and died, and the other one, there was nothing they could do.
Right.
So he just died, too.
Can I say something? Aside from the owning slaves and fighting for the Confederacy part, good for them. Because, like, that's a hell of a life for two people who were born with, you know.
It's not bad.
A foot down or whatever.
I also, the legal, you would think the South is so racist that they wouldn't allow something
like
that
to
happen.
I agree.
Why?
It's like you were talking
about. It does feed to like, there is an open-mindedness as long as the
money. That's
money.
What I was going to say. Money.
You're racist too?
Money. Also, that too, I think. Yeah. First of all, I feel like there's a couple of factors
here.
We don't like y'all,
but they don't hit more.
I think in the 1800s in North Carolina, there were probably almost no Chinese, Thai people. Because they actually, they're from Thailand, but they are of Chinese descent. So whatever. In North Carolina, there's probably no other
Chinese / Thai people. They own their own black people. Right. They own their own slaves.
Check.
They got money.
Right.
And so even these like Confederate super and racist motherfuckers were like, I mean, we're like, these guys hit for us, which is wild.
So
that
don't
funny.
Do you
dude, money fucking fixes, cures everything, bro. Well, I don't know if you say fixes, but it changes everything.
This is going to sound
money
like,
changes everything.
This is going to sound like I'm trying to make a bit out of this, but I'm not. I genuinely want to know your answer. If they'd been two completely separate dudes instead of Siamese twins,
no one would know anything about them.
Well, no. Not only I'm asking if like, do you think a little bit of that is why these Southern white plantation people were like, oh, they're okay, because like that was wild to them, and they were like felt
of
bad
course.
For
them. Yeah, no, it was still, like I think also they were like celebrities at the time. They'd been on the newspapers and stuff, and they were like, y'all know the Siamese twins? They live right down the road.
Super racist
they got
people still
slaves.
Like Michael Jordan.
I just it still blows my mind. Whenever I see, like, I think I told this story once long ago on the other podcast, but I have a family friend, close family friend we grew up with. He is a ass doctor. He's, what's it called?
Proctologist.
He's,
yeah,
proctologist.
That's a butthole doctor.
Yeah, but he does the whole intestinal tract.
Oh, gastroenterologist.
So he for 20 something years, he was the only gastro doctor in Dothan or one of these Alabama community towns. And he was telling that, I remember him telling this like 10 years ago, we were at a dinner party. He just drinks beer and just hangs out. And he was telling us, he was like, yeah, went to a KKK rally. Like, he legitimately was just bragging that
just
he
to
went
say
to
what it was about.
Yeah, he was just like, he's
or
going
just
to because
he hated black guys that
and
much
his,
or whatever.
And his
like,
daughters are like super left liberal, and they're like, Dad, I can't believe you go. And he's like, yeah, they're just having a rally. And I was like, and Uncle, he's like, you just hung out there?
How did that go?
And were he's like, and he's like, yeah.
He shows up and they're like, you hate N-words?
No. He's like, yeah.
Yes, I do.
I look at their kid, their entire family's asshole. What, are they going to hate me?
Right.
And I was like, oh, these people
are
not monsters.
That implies
that he,
just
wanted to go and see what was up?
He doesn't care. He's just like, they pay me money. They're not hurting me. I'm there.
If you go to a KKK meeting, you fall on one side or the other.
No, you could
caring.
Be an investigative journalist.
Well, yeah, but he's not. He's a butthole doctor.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, like,
he was like, I was just having a beer hanging out. I was like, that's so funny.
That kind of implies that like a racist KKK dude went to his butthole doctor
and
was like, you know, you're all right.
Right.
Hey, why don't you come through Saturday? We're having a little thing, a little get-together, you know. You might want to wear, like, a hood or something. Right? You know, we'll be wearing them, too.
I just found
so.
It so funny. And
it's
then,
that's hilarious.
That made me
it's awful, but it's hilarious.
That made me think of this thing with the twins. It's like, you would think the South would be like, hey, twins with weird eyes, fuck off. Go to the other side. And the twins are, like, getting slaves. That's even more, like, everything about it is wrong. It doesn't make this make any sense.
Of course, yeah.
And then when they lost, they're like, oh, no.
All right, yeah.
Hey, who, how would they say the general of the Confederate Army?
The general?
You know, Robert E.
Robert E. Lee.
Okay. Oh, I wanted to hear it said, and I can't say it.
So,
I can
I
say
was going to ask
Asian.
You, because I think you told us you got a buddy like this. No one to ask about this, like, We were pitching a cartoon around the various networks. They all said, no, don't hit. And it was set at like a redneck-ass golf course in the rural South. Me, Corey, and Drew worked on the golf course. And our best friend in the show was Tushar, our Indian buddy, who in the show drove like the UPS truck or whatever because we needed an excuse for you to come by every day.
And what could Brown do for you?
And what can Brown do for you? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. So, but in the show, the way we wrote you, and it's funny because this is, I don't know your cracker girlfriend, I don't think this fits exactly, but in the show years ago, we made it to where you had met a super redneck trash lady and y'all got married and had a bunch of little fucking redneck trash kids and you were like real like Southern, you know, you'd sort of been trashified, whatever, which I think is a hidden character. But you texted us recently a picture of your buddy who like
you've got friends who have done that, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You've got friends who have gone like full native.
They went full,
in Alabama, like fucking camo ball cap,
full.
Yeah, backer chewing, just redneck ass Indian buddies.
Well,
right?
I
love that.
And the other person that was like, it was obviously it was too sharp, but we'd done things like that before because of the dude in my hometown that had money. You know,
yeah,
and he's that now. Like he was a little bit at the time, but now he is full bore camo dips.
Yeah,
right
in it, dude. And I love it.
I love it too.
I have.
How do you feel about it?
Four friends I keep up with in Huntsville, and they're like my homies. Like during the pandemic when I lived there, I like reignited our friendship and we were just friends, and we're like same age, late 30s, early 40s. And they range on severity of how redneck they turn. So mm-hmm. one guy, they all married white women, or like they're in the midst of some white woman situation.
Check.
One's divorced, one's whatever. But one is just like, he's still Indian, but he doesn't identify with Indian or white people, but he dated a white girl and they're both kind of like cute. The other end of the spectrum is the guy, his family was super Hindu, super religious. They would be the family where everyone would go to do the prayer. Like they would have host prayer sessions all the time. And this guy ended up, his older sister ended up dating some PGA golfer. And so she turned kind of Christian.
Who was it?
This guy named Spike McCroy, whatever.
Okay.
It was just like this guy. And dated this guy. She became kind of like, you know, it was first in our community of like, oh, she's married a white guy. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, right.
And then she converted to Christianity. I was like, okay, well, that makes sense. And then she kind of pulled her brother into it. And then the brother ended up marrying and dating and marrying and having kids with this other white girl. And he turned full redneck. Like his whole, like everything, his business, he said, he's like the real estate. So like the whole thing. So like everything about him, he wears the camo hat. He has a big old pickup truck. He has a kiss. He goes to church. And just to
he's
watch
gone,
it, and to watch, he's gone, yeah. And it's just fascinating to watch. I don't have a problem with it. I don't look at it and be like, "Fuck, we lost one, good
well,
one."
I feel like me and Trey are the ones that should have a problem with it because it is clear appropriation of our culture. But
I love it.
Oh, I wish everybody.
And, it's super history.
And the fact that this country could allow that. And like, I guess this community, whatever, can allow it nonviolently and embrace him. They love him. They
it's
love
also Brontic, very smart. To
my
do.
Buddy, my buddy is like, he should be a mayor. Like he has mayor vibe. So he makes everyone feel comfortable and whatever. And people love him.
Right.
So it's like one thing if he did that and now he's meeting all this resistance from rednecks being like,
right.
Fuck you,
right.
brown
not,
clown
well,
or whatever.
This,
you guys would say.
This sort of goes brown clown. Yeah, I mean, that is about how creative our people are as a general rule. Brown clown.
Boone
Coon
was my favorite.
I'm about to say it would be more racist than that.
Just
yeah.
put sand.
Yeah.
Sand.
And N-word, yeah. right, yeah. But
I mean, if it ain't brown.
That goes back to what we were saying earlier about like how Chang and Aang fit in and stuff. And this, like, Aziz Ansari had a bit on one of his albums years ago. I remember talking about, like, because he's from South Carolina. And he was at a concert with like one of his best friends, a white guy that he like grew up with when he was like 20 or something. They went to a rap concert and he said that his white buddy looked around and goes, dude, we're like the only white people here. Right. And Aziz was like, I don't know what the fuck you talking about. Like, cause I'm not, you know, and like, I think that does sort of happen
yeah.
sometimes with like, maybe people like your buddy in those scenarios or whatever, they just like assimilate or something.
Not,
and they're like, and also the old boys are like, well, he don't seem black. He seems, you know
right.
what I mean? And it's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
and you get like, I don't know,
realize,
you like sort of slip in there
just,
or something. I don't know.
I definitely just realized, and I do not mean this in a, I guess I don't see color kind of way, but like I a little bit do that with you. You know what I mean? Like, now granted, it's just because like you're one
sure.
of my, but I'm saying you're one of my best friends. Therefore, it doesn't at all matter. And it's not like, but like sometimes I'm like, oh, right. Tushar is an Indian. You know what I mean?
I'm an exception. I think,
I think more about you being from Alabama or whatever than being like an Indian. Me personally. I'm like,
I mean, here's the thing. I have, and my relationship to you guys is really, I was just telling Drew this actually.
It's funny.
Like,
we say that and we call him the Indian outlaw.
I know.
Yeah.
But,
that's it.
No, but that's out of love. But I'm saying like out of all, like, I've been trying to like search. I mean, this is going to sound a little more deeper than I was planning to go, but like I've been like searching for my like through comedy, like, who my crew is, right? So, like, you know, you go to these cities and you find your friends. You go to LA for a little bit. You find your crew to run around with. You go to New York. I went to India. I'm like, these are my people. And eventually I came back. And then I'm like with my Indian comics who are grew up here that are like me. And you would think those are the most like me. But there's something about when I hang out with you guys. Yeah. It's just like I feel the most comfortable in my own skin and kind of like, yes, there's certain things about Indian stuff that we can't joke about, but like
we ain't found it yet,
but yeah, I'm saying like but speaking in Hindi and all that stuff, like I can't do with you guys, but like this feels the most at home. And that's because I grew up there. My comfort level when in my like coming of age years of like 13 to 20 or whatever. And this was when, like, Indian people kind of abandoned me because I was, like, a fat kid and I didn't do dances and shit and I wasn't
people,
really cool.
Do they move down a cast?
They should be.
Fat?
Yeah, they should. The weight should pull you down, but they don't do that. But then I found, like, my crew in high school, and I joke about this. It was like I got basically adopted by this crew of white dudes who just loved me, and I was the only Indian guy, and it was just like that's why I feel like the Aziz joke. I'm like, I'm one of y'all, but am I? Like, what?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Oh, no,
my sensibilities come from that.
Well, I mean, I think what you said about us, like I said, I think of you more as being from Alabama. Like, I really, genuinely, for me, in the comedy world, especially living in L.A. and going to L.A. and New York or whatever and dealing with comics and stuff, I just can, if somebody else is from the South and like the South, right? Like, so fucking Alabama absolutely counts. I'm like, I just have a fucking connection with that person.
Right.
And I've always felt that. I mean, you remember, like,
when me and Roy, when I found out Roy's from Birmingham, I was like, you ain't black anymore. Roy, you from the South.
Right. Dude, Roy's like super Southern.
He's Southern
super
as fuck.
Super Southern. He's like,
and that's his identity to me.
We did an interview with AL.com, the Alabama, the big, you know, and what's the paper that AL.com is part of? The, like, biggest paper in Alabama. We did an interview with their website once. They put it on there. And the journalist asked us, as part of that whole process, and he started with me. He was like, who do you think is the best Southern comedian going right now? And I was like, I'd say Roy Wood Jr., hands down. Yeah, and he was like, and the guy, a white guy, white journalist, white liberal journalist from Alabama, he was like, oh, damn, I'm like, I feel kind of exposed right now because, like,
I didn't think about
he was like, in my head, I asked you Southern comedian, and I was thinking, like,
what,
just white people, white blue collar types or whatever. And I was like, yeah, well, dude, Roy's like super goddamn Southern, man. And I was like, just fucking listen to him. He's like, that motherfucker is Alabama hell.
By the way,
he rules.
I would like to point out that we're not doing the thing that some people do where they're like, oh, you don't even act Indian. I think, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
You act so what? Like, we're not doing that. It's just like Southern
supersedes thing.
Southern supersedes thing. If you're Southern.
Especially if you're Southern and not like the shitty, awful type.
You're
you're from the South and you're not like a lunatic redneck
that's
asshole.
That's what you are to me.
I don't care what color or fucking gayness level.
Yeah, right.
Or none of that.
Your identity
are,
to me.
None
is
of that.
We're
like,
Southern.
I'm going to connect with you
for sure.
Immediately.
Of course.
And that's how me and DJ met Tushar together in LA or whatever.
Love
and like
that day was awesome.
It was so great. Within an hour of talking to him, I was like, this is my fucking dude. I love this guy.
Speaking of DJ though, like obviously DJ is a white person, but like when I first started, like when me and DJ first met, there is not two people, like nobody would have put us together as like being best friends and like being ride or die, do everything together. Just because like, you know, as crazy as I am, like, DJ was on a complete another level. We had such a different background in so many ways. But, like, he was super Southern. I'm super Southern. We're both not pieces of shit. And it's just like, there you go. All right, there's three of us, so we're best friends now. You know what I mean? Like, it really does just, like...
Well, even the people do, like, you know, you were there. Zach Galifianakis did one of my Largo shows, right? And Zach Galifianakis is like from North Carolina, but he's like an alt comic, brilliant, hilarious dude who doesn't seem super Southern, but he did my Largo show and he came back there and Flanny was like, hey Zach, this is Trey, this is his show. And I was like, hey Zach, big fan, nice to meet you. And first words out of his mouth, he goes, you from the South? And I was like, yeah, from Tennessee. And then like, we just talked for
then
like,
he started dipping.
Immediately.
Yeah.
There was like literally an immediate connection between us. As soon as he found that out, he was like, you know, it just, I don't
he
know,
goes,
it's just something. And I'm sure that's also true for New Yorkers and shit. I'm sure that's true for
everybody. Of course.
But we're from the South,
yeah,
so for
and
me.
And otherwise don't have a lot in common except for comedians, but like, Yeah, and I remember, he's like, where are you from? And I said, Chattanooga, and he goes, 85 South 24, and I was like, yeah, and he's like, yeah, hell yeah. And then again, he pulls out dip, and he puts it in, and we all were like, no offense, but you don't seem like somebody that dips. And he's like, yeah. And then I noticed he was dipping Kodiak, which for anybody that knows, like, that's the dip you dip if you don't have a lot of money, I guess, right. Which is like, I'm fine, but I was like, I said, Zach, you know, I think three Hangover movies later, you can probably get some Copenhagen. And he just goes, man, you know, this is just what I started dipping, and it's what I like. And, like, I've never
so good.
Always loved Galifianakis, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But, like, that cemented him as, like, okay.
Legend. I love this dude.
I want everything for him. Like, yeah. I want everything for him. And I also feel like if I was in a situation and he was near, I could call out to him. He would hear my accent and go, I got you, buddy. You know what I mean?
I do, like, being in a majority white upbringing and then seeing how white people react to an outsider coming in. There was one black dude who was just like, he infiltrated, like, the, like, it was me and this guy and a few handful of other people. And there's something that we have to do in any group. If as an outsider, you have to come in, you have to adapt. And in my case, it was just like, I had to deal with just subtle racism, but in a way that was just like, oh, if you throw it back to them.
Yeah, they'll hush.
Not that they'll hush. They'll fucking love it.
They love it.
It's like a disarming thing to be oh, you're saying Dune Coon. And I'll be like, oh, you have resting honky face. And then boom. Yes.
The thing is that a lot of people don't know is that, and I'm not saying this makes them good people, but like there's a lot of people who are racist, but not hateful racists or like otherwise bad people that don't want
legions of them.
They're the ones that are like, God, you're so close to being, because again, like they don't want black people or Indians there, but like they still casually say the racist things, and like they'll say things like, oh, he don't even act Indian, he acts white. There's a lot of them, and I feel like those are the ones that can be disarmed by that shit. Yeah. But like, you get an actual, I'm racist, and it's because I hate all of you. Like, you know, you give it back to them, it's going to be bad.
Right. Yeah, well, boys, it's about time we go do a show, a stand-up comedy show, Tushar.
That's all we have about the British Raj.
Yeah. Wow, that episode hit for me, and I think it's going to hit for people, too. Hit for no other reason than you're here,
Hell
baby.
Yeah.
They're going to be plugged.
Thanks for having me.
But it did hit. Yeah, if you got a plug shit, go
ahead. I'm setting up a series of shows in February in New York. This theater called Ars Nova, doing a run for my corporate hour. And I'm still figuring out details there, but stay tuned. I hope these guys will. I'll send it on through your socials at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to have you back on anytime.
Corporate as our hour. So you've got a whole hour about like corporate America material, like office job material.
Well, the whole time I've been doing stand up, I've been either working part time or full time, and I started doing material about the corporate life just naturally because it's my world. And peep and like there's not many comics who've been doing it as long as me or whatever that are still in that world.
I was gonna say so many comics they don't do that. Like so many comics like I worked at Guitar Center and then I did this and that's it. There's not a lot of
you know, and my other topics of material are like I'm from the South, I'm Indian, marriage is hard, blah blah blah. And then like this thing that I do, I see people if they're in that world, I see them kind of like really connect with that thing because they're like their life is hell
and
my life is hell.
A lot of comedy club audience members are from that world. Like that's where they have their parties.
Their outlet. So like I started. So then I was like, let me build an hour on this. That's kind of almost not necessarily stand up, but also like a one man thing. And so I'm working and writing on it, and hopefully,
well, dude, I worked an office job for like 6.5 years when I first started doing stand-up, so I need to hear this hour because I haven't heard you do any of it, but I've heard you do a couple of bits
chunks that
But I've definitely ain't seen the whole hour, so I'm looking forward to that because you're right, like if you've done that, if you've lived that life, which a huge chunk of Americans have, there's a major dearth of like it's like Office Space was such a huge hit cultural phenomenon because of that, but
and also
not,
a hit,
but there's not a whole lot of that out there. In stand-up specifically, there's almost none.
The office as well.
Yeah. So I think you're onto something. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. All right, for me, I got a bunch of 2024 down. Got about a month off after this weekend here at Zany's, which would be nice because I've been on the road for like 14 straight weeks or something. But then in 2024, we start back. I'll be all over the place. Just look up the dates. I know I'm coming to Charlottesville and other parts of Virginia. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I don't even know where all I'm going, but I'm going to places again. I'll still be touring in 2024, so go to treycrowder.com. And if I'm near you, come see me. And you can also check out me and Cho's book, Around Here and Over Yonder, which you can find a link to on treycrowder.com as well.
That is correct. I will be December 28th in Asheville, North Carolina at the fabulous Gray Eagle. I'm honored to be there. It's a wonderful place. I can't wait to see y'all in Asheville, so come see me. The premier VIP tickets are what are already, they've been sold out for a while, but there's still a handful of just the general admission or whatever. I'd love to see you December 28th, Asheville, Gray Eagle. Also bonuscorey.com. That's my Substack. Y'all have heard me talk about it a million times. And hey, right now, a lot of y'all know, cause you've gotten one from me. I am on Cameo, and if you order it, you know, within the next couple of days of when this episode comes out, it's guaranteed to be there by Christmas. I can do it as myself or any of my characters, Gerrymander, Buttercream Dream, Aunt Lita, whatever you want. It makes a unique gift. So, yeah, Cameo, me. And thanks for listening to the show.
And stay...
Stay fancy.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah, give them one. Stay fancy, motherfuckers.
Stay fancy, motherfuckers.
Stay fancy, motherfucker!
I was hoping he would do that. My
sorry,
man. Love
sorry,
you,
Mom.
Sure.
No,
I
love it.
I was hoping.
Sorry,
do
my
that.
People.
All right. She's already.
Here's Lydia Loveless.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Royalty and rednecks are alike. They both like cutting and picking fights. Biscuits and baked beans where they don't belong. Sit on down with Corey and Trey and learn some fancy shit today. We'll laugh a little even when they're wrong. They'll take you to a magical place where if you call someone a cut, nobody cares. They keep it debonair at putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs.
NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Woo!
As an adult, don't we all miss spring break? Nothing like taking a week off from all your responsibilities. Well, here's the next best thing for adults, a spring break from house payments. SaveWithConrad.com can help you get rid of all your credit card debt just like that. We're routinely helping our listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but check this out, no house payments for 2 months at SaveWithConrad.com.